Minutes after Charlie Kirk was shot and killed, videos of the bullet striking him began to appear online. They quickly got millions of views. Later, at a press conference, Utah Governor Spencer Cox warned that humans have not evolved to process the images we're seeing on social media.
This is not good for us. It is not good to consume.
NPR's Shannon Bond reports on the toll taken by the proliferation of graphic, violent images.
Emerson Brooking was in a meeting when he heard that Charlie Kirk had been shot.
I checked my phone, went to X, searched his name, and was seeing the uncensored video of his shooting in about 5 seconds.
Brooking studies social media at the Atlantic Council's Digital Forensic Research Lab, and he knew just how many of these videos would be coming. Kirk's event in Utah was being live streamed, and thousands of people in the audience had smartphones. And that meant that while many people online that day didn't go looking for the videos, they still saw them, often auto-playing in their social media feeds.
Social media and violent imagery often go together these days.
Footage of graphic violence has long circulated online, but you used to have to seek those images out. Not anymore, says Roxanne Cohen-Silver, a psychology professor at the University of California, Irvine.
For the most recent tragedy, people really had to be vigilant about avoiding these images.
Silver researches the mental and physical health impacts of traumatic events, including terrorist attacks, school shootings, and natural disasters. She says there's no question. Seeing graphic imagery, especially repeatedly, is not good for us.
For many, many people, it is associated with distress, anxiety, emotional numbness, nightmares, flashbacks, hypervigilance, symptoms of acute stress, symptoms over time of post-traumatic stress.
While the costs are clear, this kind of content feels inescapable, says Nicole Hemmer, a political historian at Vanderbilt University.
I think that it's difficult to understand people's emotional response to and connection to politics right now if you don't see some of the really graphic and heinous imagery that they're exposed to.
It's hard to quantify the impact of that exposure on people's political views. The gold standard scientific approach, showing people violent content and seeing how they respond, would be unethical. But Hemmer says there are consequences to seeing content like the videos of the Kirk shooting or another video that circulated widely this month showing the fatal stabbing of a Ukrainian refugee in North Carolina. Consequences like heightened emotions, feelings of fear and vulnerability, and calls for revenge.
And you can see that in the reaction among people who are responding to Kirk's assassination, saying that blood has to meet blood.
Liliana Mason studies attitudes about political violence at Johns Hopkins University.
The vast majority of Americans do not like the idea of political violence.
Her research finds just 20% say it's acceptable. But that number rises when researchers ask about retaliation. Up to 60% of Americans say violence may be justified if people from the other political party commit a violent act first.
Basically, nobody wants to start violence, but if violence has already begun, then people are much more open to engaging in it.
And that dynamic is fueling fears that these videos could make violence seem more permissible. For Hemmer, another troubling aspect is that some people are using these gruesome videos to raise their own profiles.
Social media rewards this kind of extreme content. People aren't just sharing it because they want people to have this communal experience of having seen and witnessed this terrible event, but they are making money off of it. They're gaining followers off of it.
And ultimately, she says, that fuels the cycle of outrage and horror in our politics. Shannon Bond, NPR News.